Are you hungry?
Good thing, because it's time for your weekly slice of Tres Leches, served as a podcast, your new favorite auditory treat where the zest of Latino culture meets the effervescence of queer narratives. With your hosts, Johnny, Ian, and Juan. Enjoy.
Welcome to this week's episode of Tres Leches. My name is Ian Paget, and I am honorably joined by Johnny Sibley and Juan Torres Falcon. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
We're back.
It's good to be with you. ¿Cómo están?
It's so nice to be with you guys. I feel so much more Miami-fied in the last 7 days because Johnny was visiting and he sat me down and he was like, you need to do homework, and we watched Real Housewives of Miami. And I already feel like the L's are coming back to like where they used to be, and it's feeling very kind of like... Like, I'm going back home, you know what I mean? To a place that feels super homey.
Yeah, like, it's feeling very comfortable. Like, he's gonna come over. Like, it's
exactly. Yeah, what I'm saying is, like, I am not Cuban, but, like, you know, Cuban around me is just, I feel for them. They're, like, Alexia and I, we just have so much in common. I really feel for her, you know what I mean? I understand her. I understand a bunch of them, more than I ever thought I could. No. Anyway.
Well, you, like Alexia, are a star. You were always a star, baby.
I was born a star.
I was born a star.
She's...
That episode, she was losing me that episode, but...
Oh, she's going to continue to lose you. Yeah. Just so you know. For the listeners, Ian is on now the second season of... Well, second season of the reboot of Miami. So, you know, the first... If you did watch, if you have watched Miami, the first season back after long hiatus, Marisol and Alexia are, you know, so fun, loving their stories. And then season two comes along and they're feeling their oats a little too much, as it is with most Real Housewives after a good season. So... Yeah, it's giving like it's the shit is gonna hit the fan, bro.
They are that's what's interesting is like
for real.
They're giving me like
so funny.
It's so high, and I feel so bad for Lisa, like what's happening with her, and it's terrible. Going through this divorce in the way that it is, and it's so public, and you know, kind of feeling so blindsided, and I've been there too. Yeah. So I feel for her. But what I was gonna say is Johnny brought this up, and now it's always on my mind. I watch.
Tell me.
I can't believe some of the arguments these women are getting into.
Oh.
Because it feels so life and death. And you're like, there's no way they're coming back from this. And then literally, irregardless of the fight, they get back. They're like friendly in 2.5 seconds, bro. And I'm so confused by it. But then I feel better because that tells me they're really friends. I do feel that. I feel like when I watch, there's this way that they just like say what's on their mind to each other. And like, sometimes I completely disagree with the way they're talking to each other. I'm like, you guys could literally fix this if you had better use of language instead of just being like, well, you said that. Okay. So that's why I said that. And like, I'm trying to be very kind of like in the middle because I do understand it's a show. It's super produced, blah, blah, blah.
I love your fervor as a new Housewives
watcher.
No, as a new watcher. It's so fun to witness. I mean, being from Miami is an honor and a privilege. It was a hilarious place to grow up. And
oh my God.
Miami is just wild. It's fabulous and chaotic, and a lot to do with this melting pot of
culture,
of cultures and music and tastes, and we're all lunatics. And the way we talk, the way we use language, to me is so delicious. It is so divine.
Oh my God.
That's why I love the Houses of Miami. But I'm so glad that you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
And
thank you,
Alexia, Marisol. name, the pronunciation, Marisol. That
Marisol
is to me peak Miami. There are a few names. Carolina.
Carolina is a great one.
Carolina. Caro is Miami forever.
Yeah.
Stephanie.
Yes.
Stephanie.
Yeah. Gabi is also good.
For boy or for girl.
Oh my God. Exactly. For boy for sure.
Nicolas. Uh-huh. Nicolas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my God. Another one. Cristina. I like that Cristina gives you the ka of Caro, but it gives you like, you stay back with the cri. It's like, Yeah, that's fun.
There's just, it's this, Cristina's great. And wow. I used to love the way my grandparents used to say, Estiving. Estiving, ven para acá, Estiving, one of my friends. I love that.
It's oh so my God.
Perfect.
Well, one of the things that I love about is the like how thick their accents are and like how now that I've been removed for so long, I hear it so much deeper. And I remember when I first moved to New York and I was like talking to people and I was like, yeah, I'm from Miami, like, da, da, da. And people were like, your accent, like, it's a very Miami. And I immediately was so offended because my whole childhood, I was like, I want to be elsewhere. I belong in New York. Like, so was there ever a moment where people clocked like the Miami in you and like brought it to your attention?
No, I'm listeners, I'm nodding my head. No, because there's always been this running joke in the family or just like that I've been saying for the past like 10 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Or whenever. But like, if you met my sister, you'd be like, oh, that girl,
Miami,
that human, that human is from a different country. She's from Miami. Uh-huh. She is giving
which is a
like,
different country.
It is, to be clear.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And like literally my friends would meet us and they would be like, why is it that you sound like you're from the great state of Ohio? And then she sounds like she literally just got off.
She still has the isms. You hear her? Literally. Ian,
if there's a sentence. Why did that on purpose?
Well, no, but Ian, like you use literally, like the way that you use literally in so many sentences, it is so Ian. It is so funny, but it is, like you just don't say literally, you say literally, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you went to this like refinement class.
Finishing school?
Yes, a finishing school of like, you know, I'm still going to be me, but I'm going to be, you know.
Yeah, I'm if you guys are watching Gilded Age, I'm Mrs. Russell's daughter. That's like the new family that the Astors hate.
Yeah.
And I'm coming in and my parents are like, you'll be going to New World School of the Arts and you'll be learning everything you need to know about. What's that when you're assimilating into this culture? Because for some of you who don't know, by the way, Miami is a part of my life from the age of 10, 11 years old. But before that, I lived in the UK.
She was a London girl.
I was a London girl.
a proper girl.
And I do very, very
she really
bad.
Was.
And so that's why I do kind of feel like truly half, I hate both of you right now. But you know, people don't, they don't know. So I feel like an equal amount connected to a very British upbringing and just like a different culture over there. And then all of a sudden to go from British accent and to go back to the question you were asking, when I moved to Miami, I did not have a Miami accent. I had a British accent. And if there's anywhere where accents go to die, it's Miami, because the only accent you're going to end up having is the Miami accent. Mm. But I don't think I had one. Juan, I don't know that like I really ever lived in that.
Your accent was not, it never super Miami. And neither was mine because I always thought I was better than everybody.
It's okay, wait.
I definitely have one, but I was able, I was always trying to like not have it. Do you know what I mean?
Right. You're giving Dr. Nicole. You're doing what Dr. Nicole is doing.
I was giving Dr. Nicole. I was giving like, I was overcorrecting.
Right.
And when you overcorrect a Miami accent, it's a very specific thing, which is what you get with how I speak.
But yours is different. You're not giving like Avenue Q, like pronunciation of like Disney. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of overly pronounced.
I do too.
It does something to my ears. It gets in the back of my skin in like a way that feels like she holds it all in her, it's like all in her cheeks and everything feels like very, it's so, it annoys me, but also like it's ASMR. It's very ASMR vibes for me.
Interesting.
It is. And it's a preciousness. There's like a preciousness with the way that, like, for example, okay, so that people can hear it. If you were going to say, in Miami, if you were going to say anywhere, you know, just kind of a neutral American accent, do me a favor. Do me a favor and please bring my sandals and my purse from the other room. Okay. Like a super Miami girl. Yeah. She'd be like, do me a favor. Can you bring me my sandals and my purse from the other room? It's like such a presence of like, it's a there's use like a of language. Oh, it's like, And do you know what I love? So there's an article, I think it was in the Miami Herald about this, about like the Miami dialect that's kind of become a thing. And it's really just over translating things. Mm. So instead of saying, my favorite one is instead of saying por la noche, mm-hmm. or in Miami, people don't say like, hey, come over to my house tonight. Of course they do say that, yeah. but a real deep cut, like when I was growing up, was you would say, hey, can you come to my house by the night?
By the night?
By the night. By the night.
Wow.
And that is because you were translating por la noche.
By the night.
But it was like you would say to your friend, like, hey, like, mom, can Carlos come over by the night?
Wow.
That was like,
that just makes no sense. You know, like as an English, as
know,
an English
so
speaker.
Miami. That's so been Miami. Lost. That's by the night has been lost, but like you know what
shit.
Is still going strong.
We're eating shit.
Eating oh my shit. God. Whoa, eating the best shit. One.
We're eating shit over
that's
here.
That's the best one.
No, nothing, bro.
And calling bro to anyone bro. And
anyone.
Everyone is so great.
It's amazing.
Your grandmother's bro, like abuela, bro, please, yeah. please, bro, leave my room. Yes, please, leave me alone.
In the at the end of everything, like, why?
Ayo, que pese.
Oh my God, that reminds me.
Yeah. It's so fun. And being rude with language to parents, everyone does it, but
yeah.
no one does it like a Miami kid.
Yeah.
Kids from Miami talk to their parents
yeah.
like they are hired help, okay? I mean yeah. temporary hired help, seasonal workers, okay?
Yeah.
Like, I remember like my mom would be like, hi, Poppy, here, let me help you. Like, mom. Literally stop, bro. Move away. Like, get away from me, bro. Get away from me. Like that. They're like, that? What
yeah.
is that?
Yeah.
When I talk to my parents like that, I get such a sense of joy because there's something, it's like almost the tender way that I show how much I love them is that I can talk to them like they annoy me. I know that makes
that
no
you
sense.
You completely don't give a fuck about them at the same time. I get that. It's because the love
do you know
is,
what I mean?
You can count
like,
on the love.
Like, thank you, mom, for letting me be like the child again. Like, I know I don't yes. want to ever step back consciously into those like shoes, but there's something really nice to be like, daddy, like what, dad? No, I told mom. No, that's not what, like to turn that on with your family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Wait, I do have a question because
yes.
Ian, you said you came over from the UK and you didn't really develop a Miami accent, but why? Why is it that your British accent is so bad?
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Literally.
Literally. No, and if you could just give us a little, you know, just a piece for the audience to see what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm wrong.
So whenever, maybe I have a couple things that I want to say is one, who made you the arbiter of like English, like British dialect?
I have
number
ears.
One is like ego. And then second, I've never said that my English accent is the English accent.
Claro que no, chico. How could you say that?
I don't know exactly. That was because I would be lying. I would be lying. No, but the way I like when someone's like, oh my God, like, do you ever get your accent back or something like that? And I'm like, if I'm around anyone from the UK
Stop.
Or if there's someone from down
Stop
under,
it.
my A's go back to sort of like that. And like, it's slight, but sorry.
Oh, okay.
I say sorry all the time. It's just like, it stays kind of here and it doesn't really move anywhere. But like, that's just kind of where I live sometimes. If it's around
okay.
me, and if it's not,
to be clear, that is the best. That was the best version of a British accent I have ever heard you do. And I don't know.
I have a question for you. I don't want to yell and go into falsetto mix because I listened to episode 2 and I did it a little too much.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just gonna boop, boop.
Okay.
But where did you hear the accent? This is because I'm a perfectionist. So I'm asking because I would like to correct it and understand what it is the source material
she
you
said
speak
I want
of.
To take the note. No, it's just, you know, in passing when we do our little accents as we do and, you know, I hear the British come out and I'm like, oh, that's not good. you know,
wow.
I mean, there's probably an accent I do that it's like, girl, stop that. You know, but...
You know what actually happens? Actually, this is what tends to happen. Like if I'm around like Aussies or anyone British,
yeah.
is even if the accent doesn't turn back into those A's that I like talk about,
yeah.
You know, very, it's if anything, it goes back to a very working, sort of a working class kind of place. No, just kidding. if anything, the English lilt, the English lilt comes back. That for sure happens. Where all of a sudden, like, I'll say something and it kind of like ends up like that.
Yeah.
Did you do that today? Like, you know, that, yeah, the I can't it, do it.
It's always
in
like
this
a
moment.
Question at the end. That's like, you know, they love a question, and it's funny.
Did you tell her I'd be there at 5?
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Well, that was a question, but you know what I mean?
But I will say, like, you know, not to, you know, obviously I wasn't trying to drag you, but you know, there's someone else who has who's loves a British accent. Who's not very good at it. You know who I'm talking about?
Brittany. I know. Do. Is it Brittany?
And Brittany. She too has it kind of like up as a part of her bones.
She does. It's in her. It's in her DNA.
It's in her heritage.
I know. That was also that blew my mind.
Yeah.
So we all read it.
We all read it.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we're here for today. We're literally here for the woman in me. The woman in me. What a
the
week.
The woman in me, bro.
What a week. Wow.
What a week.
Bro.
Yeah.
Brittany, yeah, they really put this girl through a lot of shit, bro. They were fucking terrible to her.
They were. No. It's, wow. And it is, yeah. So I actually have a question. Oh, yeah. So my question is just because, Johnny, obviously you know that or if the world doesn't know, you are a stan of hers. Mm. Obviously, like Juan and I, we love her. I've always loved her, but like you're going to be giving like the fact sort of checks on this episode.
Correct.
And I'm curious, after you read it,
yeah,
did you, one, like, what's your opinion on her writing style? Was there anything you learned that maybe you didn't know before that gagged you? And have you met anyone who's given you an opinion you didn't like? Like, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, sort of a reaction to it where you're like, I don't agree with the review, and it brought up fun discussion.
Yeah, I mean, being a Britney Spears fan is fighting for your life every day. Of, you know, it's sort of, you know, in the realm of like Taylor Swift, like there's always something that you're fighting like someone else about, you know, whereas like if you're a Beyonce stan, which all of us are, I feel like it's just part of our personalities. There's not really as much you have to fight with, like, you know, growing up in seventh grade, you know, kids were, while they were also calling me gay, they were also saying Britney Spears can't sing. And I was like, yeah, she can. Like, you haven't heard her register. Like, you haven't heard her on Star Search. You haven't heard her on Mickey Mouse.
Oh my God.
You know, so there, I've been fighting my whole life. All my life I had to fight vibes, you know, very Kara Crocker, leave Britney alone. So
yeah,
when I read the book, I have a, you know, I knew most of what Britney was saying because I have followed her so closely. I saw the shaving of the head moment happen in real time because I used to be on like X17, breatheheavy.com. Like these are like Britney Spears stan websites. So
do you remember where you were when that happened?
I do. I had just left my best friend Jessica's house, another Britney stan. And we were like, what's going on with her? Like, oh my God, like she's like, if people just like let her be a mom. And I remember coming home and like refreshing X17 and I saw Britney Spears shaves her head, da 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 da. And I remember calling her on the landline and being like, Jessica, go on X17 right now. And that was like
I thought you meant you called Britney. I was like, what? How did you call me? Got it.
Anyway, so we basically had a moment where we're like, what's happening? Because we didn't know. Like, we also were experiencing Britney Spears through the media of like, you know, she's off the rails, she's getting married, she's that. So over the years, like, and when you're a fan of somebody, you immediately give them the benefit of the doubt. And I think reading the book felt like a vindication in many ways that we knew exactly, like her fans felt how she might have been feeling. And then reading the book, she just basically says, I was feeling exactly the way you guys read. You know, and obviously Britney's not a writer. She is telling her story, but like I can hear her voice in the book and that makes me really happy. And that also goes to like Michelle Williams's acting expertise to like really paint the picture.
Mm. And for those who don't know Michelle Williams, the great Michelle Williams, that one is also one of the great Michelle Williams. We've got two great Michelle Williamses, but we're talking about the white lady. Yeah. The white lady read the book for Britney.
Right.
So can I tell you, I listened and red at the same time, which is the thing I like to do with celebrity, specifically celebrity books. Hmm. I did it with Mariah's.
Ooh. Yeah.
And that...
Did she read hers?
She did.
She did. And it's a movie. I mean, that audiobook is a great audiobook, but it's different because she sings and it's much more edited. There's music
as opposed to
this, which is very simple. But Michelle Williams delivers a beautiful performance that feels Britney-esque. It feels almost like she's doing her research. Yeah. There's a light Britney affectation to the voice, talking about accents, but without being too heavy-handed.
Yeah.
I found the book to be really sweet and tender and heartbreaking. I cried quite a bit. I cried mostly at the beginning.
I found
the early chapters to be sadder because I don't think I knew a lot of those things.
Right.
I didn't really know about her father's history and hearing about her dad, you know, hearing her trying to kind of explain out her father's trauma was very moving. And I think I lost my dad a couple of years ago, and I think I've tried to do that for myself. And it was kind of the first time I saw someone else kind of around my age doing it that in this way and kind of explaining how their trauma then affected me, you know, or how it gets handed down. But, what was interesting is, you know, she reads the prologue in the audiobook, and she read the prologue and she explains why she's not reading it because it's too emotional. And I'm also glad that she didn't read it because it was like hearing,
a diary,
you know, it was almost too personal. It was too private. Her voice is so, powerful, like, and I don't mean loud. I mean, it's like, there is something why she's a star, why we're talking about her, not about 100 other girls.
Right.
Is she may not be the best singer. She may not be, but when you hear her voice, it is Britney Spears and it is no one else. There is no one who sounds like her. And in her speaking voice, it would have felt like we were having a session with her psychiatrist. Like we were like her doctors or something, because the way she describes a lot of this is the way you would tell the story back to your psychologist. It's so simple. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, Juani, like when you're talking right now, I my brain is going to the way, like when Dolly Parton gives an interview, I feel very like we hear and see into kind of like her soul in the same way that you're calling Britney's voice powerful, because there's this way that when Dolly sings, you're like, of course it's all the things, the songwriting, the voice itself. But then there's this way that when she talks, there's a sort of angelic purity to her that I think Britney also shares. There's a childlike purity to Britney in the way that she takes care of whoever she's speaking to with the tone of her voice. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah, I just saw a video online of her getting stopped by a police officer because she was speeding. She was going 60 and a 45, which
Dolly Parton?
To me is like, okay, girl. No, Britney.
Oh, I was kidding, but I'm glad you took it.
The police officer, the officer was like, you know, doing the officer thing. And she was just like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. And you could see her being like exactly the way she describes in the book, which she says, you know, she cannot fathom like speaking to anyone without a yes, ma'am or a yes, sir. That's just the Southern girl that she was raised as, you know. And Ian, to answer your question about like, did I have any critiques that I saw or read? Someone did reach out to me and said, because I had said I finished the book, I finished it all in the 5 hours in that, you know. And they said, I don't know, it just felt like she didn't really take accountability for any of the things that she did, and she seemed like more of a victim in her book. And I took issue with it because she is the victim. She is a victim. And I think I actually thought she did a great job of allowing other people, like her father, like Justin Timberlake, like her mother, painting a full picture of why they must have acted in the way that they acted without saying, you know, they did this to me. Like she talks about her father growing up with a man who put two of his wives in insane asylums and nothing was ever good enough for him. And she's basically painting the picture of how her father was able to treat her the way that she did, the way that he did, in my understanding, kind of absolving him a little bit of all of that responsibility. So I was like, I don't see it. I thought maybe she mentioned she was more of like a victim of circumstance, or like the punishment didn't fit the crime. But Juan, you've read Mariah Carey's yes. book. Like I finished reading Mariah's book and I'm like, so everything happened to Mariah. Mariah never did anything to anybody, you know, mm-hmm. but that's also like, it's your autobiography. Yeah, like sometimes exactly. you're not really going to say how you hurt other people yeah, unless you know, of course. You know?
Yeah, it's your time to tell your side of the story. And there are going to be, right. for famous people, there are other people to say their side. There, you know, that's the whole thing. Other people have already said uh-huh. what they need to be said about what they think of Mariah and how, what, of because she's this and she's that and she has done this. Okay, so this is my side of it.
Right.
And I think,
right,
you know,
right.
Mariah's book is very different from this one, although, you know, it's just yeah. her life story. The difference is that Mariah is a woman with a great amount of autonomy. Mm-hmm. Mariah has had a lot of control for many years. Not always. Mm. All the right. time. Sometimes. she has had a lot of control over her world. And Britney has not.
Yeah.
But I have a question, right. Johnny. I guess I have two questions. Mm. The first is, what were the items that that person in their review where they said she didn't own up to what she's done? What are those things that she has done? Like,
well, that I didn't ask because
you didn't even want to engage.
Well, and that
what's the
No, because I felt as though like, you know, I feel like in the media, there's always been this like idea, like Britney's a bad mother, Britney, and she explains it all in the book. Like every step of the way she says, you know, like when I went through my breakup with Justin, I didn't want to see anyone. I needed time to heal. My team and the world wanted to hear from me. So I went and talked to Diane Sawyer. Mm. I was not a well woman
Correct.
In that moment. And she even says in the book, that's where I felt like I turned dark.
Yeah.
You know? And then after that, like you see, you know, the shaving of the head because Kevin won't allow her to see her kids and, you know, but the paparazzi swarming her. So they get a picture of her almost dropping the baby. But what the audience doesn't understand is the reason she's almost dropping the baby is because she's surrounded by all this paparazzi. It's like, but it's the media will believe anything that, or people will believe it, maybe not so much anymore, but we used to really just believe what the media was saying when it said she's an unfit mother. You know, it doesn't even matter if it's true. It's just the fact that the words exist in the world. Yeah. Leave this little thing. Even now that Britney's out of her conservatorship, people consistently are like, oh, she's not on her meds, or she's this, then the other, or they're not just realizing that this woman has been basically Kimmy Schmidted for 13 years. And she's finally experiencing Instagram and the world for the first time on her own. And that's going to look weird for a lot of people. So we still do it, but I can only imagine that's what they meant is like how she got to where she got.
Okay. But also like I don't mean to diagnose her and I think that it's dangerous to do what I'm about to do, but I'm going to do it. There is no doubt in my holy and apostolic mind that this girl.
What does apostolic mean?
It's just a thing. It's like of the apostles. I mean, just trying to mean just like holy and apostolic is a thing you say in the Catholic Church, like the holy and apostolic word of God. Like, you know, it's like, I'm just saying my complete and right mind, and by complete and right mind, I mean my incomplete and not right mind, because I too am not a well woman. So maybe I am the perfect person to speak to this, is that obviously something is rotten in the state of her Denmark. Do you know what I mean? That's just clear to me. Like there is obviously there are significant mental health challenges. What that is,
right.
I'm not here to diagnose her or try to, But yeah. that is clear, whether it's because of trauma, right. whether it's a form of PTSD, or whether it's an inherited form of bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. I'm not a doctor. But right. Something is off.
Isn't clean, yeah. I think it's also like people seeing the way that she was on stage and versus the way she is like on Instagram. People are just like, oh, poor thing. But like, I love the Matt XIV like came out with a little
she's been twirling forever, like,
Britney's been spinning for
yeah,
years.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, and you know, when Kara Crocker originally said, leave Britney alone. Like, I've been watching a lot of those old videos, but she was right on the money of like, if we just gave the woman some space to, you know, but it's hard when she, you know, and Britney was like huge at a time when there was no social media. So like paparazzi was huge there. You couldn't just jump on a live yeah. and like dispel the rumors or say like, hey babe, I almost dropped my kid because these motherfuckers were bothering mm-hmm. me. Like you had to sit down with Matt Lauer, God forbid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But is there anything that like stuck out to you both from the book that you're like, oh, I love this little tidbit. I want to share.
A general idea. I found it very moving mm-hmm. when she described how much she loved to sing. I don't see her as a singer. I see her like as performer. Great performer.
Yeah.
Gowns. No, that was just a reference to everything. I think she's much more talented than that.
Yeah. I knew you were gonna say that.
No, but she is. She's an iconic performer. But I also don't really, I don't even see Michael Jackson as a singer either. I like see him as like something else. It's like a third thing. And I kind of see her in the same way. And Madonna. They're like something else. It's like they're like magicians almost.
Right.
More than vocalists. But she really sees herself as a singer. Like in the way that I think Yeba sees herself as a singer. I think she sees her voice as the way that she communicates, which to me is like insane because not that I actually love Britney's voice. I love the quality of it. I always have. To me, her magic, her spell book is in her movement.
Yeah.
Her skin. Right. It's tactile. It's an experience that you see and touch, not one you need to necessarily hear. Hearing the voice is just a part of it. But I was moved to see how much she loves it because I love when people love something. J-Lo, for example. J-Lo loves to sing. Do you know that? That woman loves to sing.
Yeah.
She can't sing.
She does.
But she loves singing. And because she loves it, I like when she does it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a weird example, but
totally.
I just love that Britney loves it and that it's a part of how she, it's something that she brought up. This quote that I'll read, we all pulled quotes. Singing is magic. When I sing, I own who I am. I can communicate purely. When you sing, you stop using the language of hi, how are you? You're able to say things that are much more profound. Singing takes me to a mystical place where language doesn't matter anymore, where anything is possible. And it's a simple saying to say, but I love that she sees her art that way. And I just didn't expect that.
Yeah.
And
back in the day, they always used to ask her, you know, because her and Christina were always compared. And Christina, you know, the voice is absolutely insane. And they used to say, you know, how do you feel when you hear like Christina Aguilera sing? And Britney says, you know, I love her. I love her voice. And like, but I don't sound like her. I sound like me. And it's not about how I sound to myself. It's the way I feel when I sing. And that's why I do it, because I feel like it takes me somewhere, you know? And I thought that was such a like fierce answer to give someone, because like you could sit there and be like, get defensive, or you could, you know, but she acknowledged, she's like, Christina Aguilera is talented, but I love how I feel when I do what I do. Mm-hmm. So you can't take that away from me. And I have always thought that that was like really special.
Yeah. I will, to jump on what you guys are saying, one of the things I loved the most was there, she describes the moment when she's in the studio and she is, I think she's she's recording with Max Martin and she's in the studio for hours and hours and hours. And she makes a conscious decision, kind of like in that way when happy accidents happen, when you're writing a song or you're choreographing or, you know, and you're like, oh, wait, that mistake, actually, we got to keep it. That's where the magic is. Right. And I get goosebumps thinking about it. But when she describes this moment of creating and how she on purpose decided to really, really sing and get very, very tired, because what we learn later is in the next morning is her voice was fried. And that's kind of what she wanted. She wanted she wanted to sound more mature. She wanted to sound more, and that is how she found the sound of her and Max being like, that's it. Like that I thought was really interesting, because so much of Britney is what she made for us. And then what we all helped build together as she was, you know, becoming a girl, not yet a woman, in front of our eyes. and I just like that showed me, and kind of like to what Juan is saying, that like the way she sees, views her singing and music as an art form isn't the story that's usually told about her, because like you're saying, she's not maybe known as a singer or a vocalist, but then to hear her talk in the way that sounds so perfect, I'm like, is she an Aquarius? You know what I mean? Like, she's so deep about it.
Sagittarius. What's December 2nd?
I love it.
She actually, that's one of the things I also loved about the book, was when she talked about her craft, it's like she always knew better than the people that were, you know, like the creating of the sound. Like, she's like, I went to sleep, I heard this song, and I knew that that's what I wanted to sound like. I wanted this record to sound like this, because for so long people thought Britney Spears was just like this propped up pop princess that was told what to do. And like, in some ways, yes, she was, you know, carted around. She was a child star, you know, but for the most part, she, like, you know, even the moment where she's like the Baby One More Time video, they wanted it to be a space theme. And I thought, no, we should just be at school with our friends. And then the bell rings and we like go off and dance. And I'm like, that's so fierce. Like, she was like, I knew what I wanted. And I cannot imagine it being any different than what she created. So I think also reading the book as a fan, it's so nice to hear those little moments of like artistry, because, you know, when you love someone, you just want to know so everything about them. And I love the moments of joy in all of the other, like the sea of pain, you know?
My heart breaks for this girl. My heart breaks for her.
I was just about
it's
to say
too
that.
Sad. If I think about it too much, I get really sad. I saw Once Upon a One More Time, the Britney musical on Broadway. And really enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah.
Act two was not as good as the first act. The first act is really strong. It's always a letdown when the musical's second act is worse, because that's what you leave with. And it just made me sad. And this argument that I'm about to make is that, like, it made me sad that she couldn't be there for opening night. Like, what is wrong? Like, I went with the, what is wrong with Britney that she couldn't be there? That no one gets a musical. Like, it's Tina, Cher, Britney. Who gets a musical with only their songs? The fact that she wasn't involved, didn't tweet about it, didn't go to opening night and take a bow after the last, you know, after the last performance, say thank you for loving my music. Mm-hmm. I love you. And then going home back to wherever. And I thought, I used to say, like, she must be just so sick. It's a testament to how unwell she truly is. But really, I think after reading the book, I think that and talking to other Britney super fans, that it's actually maybe she just didn't want to be a part of that. That the people who maybe, I have no idea, this is speculation, but that maybe the people who put the musical together are, she associates them with the grand old party that kept her in a cage. And, you know, how can she go and support this thing that was, you know, walked along by her captors? So, you know, but you think that makes me sad.
I mean, that's the,
Sorry, Johnny.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that that's like one of the, that's one of the wonderful things about the book is that I think it'll allow people to see into her world. Like even so much, like the quote I pulled was her talking about, you know, her, what she posts on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
You know, cause I love when Brittany shows like, I see what you see, yes. but this is me. Like, mm-hmm. you know, she's like, I know I do these pictures and dress up on Instagram, but if you spent years of your life, you know, being poked and prodded and told how to pose for who to pose for, you would feel so much power in just taking naked pictures of yourself or posting dance videos of yourself. And I remember in the book where she says, like, I've never been good at doing the fame thing. Like, Justin was great at it. Like he knew how to make it work for him. I never knew how to make it work for me. I don't know. I didn't know how to dress. I still don't know how to dress. Like all of those things that she, but also she's like a chronic people pleaser. So like I can see all of that affecting her and I can see why she doesn't want to show up to any kind of red carpet event, any kind of, you know, why she's more of a recluse now, because when you go through all of that, why would you want to put yourself in that? Like, I mean, yeah. we read three negative comments and we're like, all right, I'm done with the internet for today. I'm going to, yep. you know, I'm going to go touch my grass mm-hmm. and be, you know, mm-hmm.
I'm moving to Austin.
I'm really glad that
I'll see you guys later.
right.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And that's like, that's my version of, you know, running away or like doing my thing in order to, you know, bring the joy back to me, back to my life. And I think we all have those mm-hmm. moments and I'm glad that people are reading the book and enjoying it.
Was that your quote, by the way?
Yes.
That was mm-hmm. my quote. Yeah. Well, I wasn't my quote. It was. Yeah.
Yes.
Quote.
Yes. I was just double checking that. Like you said yours. Go, honey.
Yeah.
I hope that Brittany finds the peace that some of the other great iconic female women performers find. Mm. I pray that she finds the ability to connect with her voice and her singing and that she can perform for her. You know, I hope she gets a 1989 yeah. redo. I hope she gets to record Taylor's version of thing. I don't mean literally like re-record her songs because yeah. I think she may own her masters. I have no idea. She probably doesn't. But even if she did, the point is, I hope she yeah. gets to do her Las Vegas residency 10 years from now.
Mm.
The way that she wants to
on
do
her
it
terms.
With her songs and
right.
sing her songs because obviously she loves it. She doesn't talk about how she hates performing and how she all she says is positive things about it. She just needs to heal
yeah.
so that she can do it again. And mm-hmm. so that she can right. take the stage.
I sent you guys that clip where she basically said, yeah, love
no, I love you, honey.
Where she says that none of it matters, but when I'm on stage, like that is, if I could only do that. And I'm sure that you both as performers feel that too. It's yeah. like all of the little things that go into the, it's like when you're in the rehearsal, when you have yeah. the rehearsal shoes on, yeah. when you're in the mix, like
yeah.
that is what we live yeah. for. We live to be in those moments.
Yeah, I think that's what I loved the most about when she talks about how she found that voice and just those moments that not everyone gets to see are some of my favorite moments. Listening to her kind of share that same sentiment about like, I just like love performing. It made me miss doing it. I mean,
yes. makes you want to touch your toes. Yeah. And yeah, yeah. but you know how okay. unwell the fact that she doesn't see, they didn't even let her see her kids. What's going on with that?
Ugh.
What's going on there?
Well, apparently her children don't want to see her because they don't like how she's posting on Instagram and doing all that stuff. It does give like teenager, like mom, I'm embarrassed, stop embarrassing me vibes. But, you know, and they have a different relationship with her than the world does. You know, they know her as mom. We know her as Britney Jean Spears.
But,
so,
you know, it's just right, sad. It's just sad. She deserves happiness. It's just like,
she really does.
She does.
Like, happy.
What were you gonna say?
Yeah. You want her to be happy, no.
like Tina Turner, honey.
Oh yeah,
let
yeah.
her move to Switzerland with some beautiful man and just live out her years in splendor.
Oh my god, with Tina, just like Tina.
Yeah,
that's what Tina did. Tina said, like Tina. "Tina said, I'm out." She came back.
That's Tina Turner for everyone.
Tina Turner, yes.
Doesn't realize we're talking about.
She lived most of her life after like the last chapter was as an expat, not in the United States, away from it all. She said, "What was love got to do with kind of nothing?"
I got my passport and I have what is it? Not pre-check. TSA. What's the other one?
Global entry.
Global entry. My favorite quote from the book, technically, I will speak the language of Brittany. But she talks about, of all the things they did, I will say the worst was to make me question my faith. I never had strict ideas about religion. I just knew there was something bigger than me. Under their control, I stopped believing in God for a while. But then when it came time to end the conservatorship, I realized one thing. You can't fuck with a woman who knows how to pray. Really pray.
Period.
And all I did was pray. I just love that. I was like, yes, Brittany. Like, I love that both those two ideas are in the same sentence. It's like the word fuck and then pray. And it's like, you know, I just love that. You know, I'm obsessed with her for just what?
Yeah. I was going to say, that's also something that a Southern woman would put on a purse or a t-shirt or above the toilet in the powder room. You don't mess with a woman who prays, honey. You just don't.
You can't do it, baby. Can't do it. I will tell you, she is just a girl from Louisiana is really the point.
But yeah. Yeah.
What a moment. And grateful to have it. Yeah. I want to know who Ghost wrote the book, because whoever Ghost wrote the book style, I mean, the sentence structure.
Storyteller. Yeah.
Concise.
Yeah, it flows.
Pretty language. It flows. It's so easy to read. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazingly crafted. Speaking Ms. Brittany, of. Talk to me.
Yes. I was just going to say, speaking of flow, and, you know, Brittany isn't here for us to give her, like, you know, like our loving therapy session. But I was wondering, did we get any good, like, shout outs or like questions about the unsolicited advice from the 27 plus of us in this group? And if so,
we did.
Yeah.
Do you remember how I said, like, speaking about flow and all I'm doing is like cutting the flow?
Yeah.
We're going to take a break right now. And we're back, and it is Hello. Time for our weekly segment, Spilled Milk.
Well, today, go ahead. I have the topic for today. It comes from Tyler Gibson, and it's TYLR.GBSN, which I love. The topic they want to discuss is OnlyFans creators who charge pay-per-view for all content on top of the subscription fee. How dare?
This is interesting.
Feelings about, you know, you pay the fee, but then you pay per view, pay per video, on top of that.
I don't like it.
I hate it.
Okay.
That is like saying, if I pay for HBO Max,
right,
but I want to watch one of whatever movie,
right,
you're telling me I have to pay extra. It's not Soho House. That's a different thing.
Right.
This is wild to me. I have paid memberships.
I guess some would say that you get some stuff for free and then there's special things. But you have to get some things included in the basic membership, right?
Correct. Like, if you're on HBO Max, but like they're offering the fight, the Holyfield Tyson fight, which is, you know, me, but you know, you have to pay a little extra because you're not, you know, it's like in lieu of being there in person. And so, like, I can see an OnlyFans creator having the subscription fee, but then all of a sudden they have a collaboration with that girl, like the OnlyFans creator that everybody wants to see, you know, top for the first time, bottom for the first time. So of course they're going to get their coin. They're going to be like, you know what? If you want to see this, we're just going to need a couple little extra dollars. Now I have seen OnlyFans creators that will do it for a lot of videos. And I'm just like, girl, you know, and then there's some that don't charge any subscription fee, but they do charge per video.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that. I haven't encountered
interesting.
That. But you know, but this is like for me, my family loves to go to Disney World. we used to go to Disney World. When I was growing up, we used to go to Disney all the time. Okay.
Right.
Ian knows my family's a Disney family. I love going. I just don't enjoy it so much anymore because it's everything is now everything has been
monetized.
Right. Like the lines, girl. that's for Six Flags. That's for the low budget places. That's at Magic Kingdom. You're gonna have me pay for the genie pass too? No, it's like I already paid. I'm here. But
if you want to get to the front of that line, if you want to go on Space Mountain first, you gotta pay.
But you know, everyone's trying to make their coin. I mean, listen. There's a world in which we create a Patreon or something down the line. And what will we sell extra?
We'll say
por extra.
Yeah, for extra, you get to watch the actual faces when I tell Ian he has a bad English accent. You get to see his immediate reaction. That is worth, I think, an extra $5.
Honestly, $50 for that video alone, I think.
That is worth 1,000 British words.
Yes.
For sure.
I will say, too, though, like, I always think when I see something like that, I'm like, oh, it's pay-per-view for now because everything goes on the sale rack eventually. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? There are the Kelly bags. There are the Birkins that, like, you know, that are always in demand. But honey, if you got to get rid of some part of the catalog, it's gonna go on sale.
Inventory.
So maybe wait a couple days, maybe a week, a month, and you'll get that. Maybe the pay per view will be lifted.
Hilarious.
And you get to see it.
Hilarious.
For free because I have
another
seen that.
Way. That got me good.
I, as much as I want to sit here and keep talking, I do want to go to the gym and get some blood pumping back into my body.
Oh, yes.
Just because it's cold.
So you're saying you're over us? You're saying you're done? You're done. Okay.
I am being up. Buenas no. Yes. I'm so sorry. Guys, I have to go to the gym and then I have to go to my abuelo's house.
Yeah, exactly. Gotta be there for dinner. Well, we have had a great time with you all this week. Please go read Brittany's book.
Yes, and oh my God, Juani, I'll see you in like 2 hours because we're about to go see Spamalot.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Enjoy that.
We are. Dreams.
I'm like super
excited.
We wish
you were here,
like,
Johnny.
I do. I wish I was there too. Soon. Again.
Bueno.
Yes, soon enough.
Los amo tanto.
Bueno. We had a great week. We love you guys.
Love you.
Bye. I love Brittany's book. Bye.